It is good to be with you this day and to have the opportunity to share the Word of God. I'll say one thing about Brother Kenny. One of the things that I love most about him is, man, he has zeal, doesn't he? He has enthusiasm. It is contagious. You just can't be around him very long without picking up on that zeal and enthusiasm and excitement. And I pray that he will never lose that zeal as a pastor. That's one of the things when you've been in ministry as long as Mary and I have, and have been preaching as long as I have. One of the things that you tend to lose as you get older is you lose some of that zeal and excitement. And just pray for your pastor that he never loses that zeal, because that will keep him going. I'm going to be all over the place in my preaching this morning. I told Mary this as we prayed. I really feel scattered in my thoughts, and so I pray that the Lord will bring it and at least use it to touch your heart. I'm going to start with a song that children of my generation would sing. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Well, I guess people still know that song. The ladies of Africa would sing, Azi bambo mwabwe kuno kuzatani, kuzaminya kondo kuno yamulungu, satana wagonja, zi, kwa tu kwa mulungu, kwa tu. Men and women, why have you come? You have come to fight the battle of God. Satan has been defeated. Our home is in heaven. Now, I don't know whether the Apostle Paul would sing either of those songs, but I do know that Paul would agree with the imagery of us being involved in a battle and us as the people of God being soldiers in the army of God. I think Paul believed with all of his heart that we were involved in a battle, in a struggle against the principalities and powers of the air. We're involved in a battle for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. And Paul used aggressive language. I know that we like the imagery of us being sheep and him being our shepherd, and we're branches and he's the one true vine. I like those images as well. But Paul really liked that imagery of us being soldiers and Jesus being King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our commander in chief. And he would talk about fighting the good fight of faith. He would talk about tearing down strongholds. When he would talk about his friend Archippus, or his other friend Epaphroditus, he would call them my fellow soldiers. And when Paul would talk to the Ephesians, and he would describe to them about living the Christian life in this world, Paul would say, if you're going to be a good soldier, don't forget to put on your armor. Put on the full armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're going to turn our attention this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, and most especially verses 3 and 4. Because as Paul writes to his disciple Timothy, he uses again this imagery of battle, of being a good Christian soldier. In the first letter, Paul says to Timothy, literally, wage a good warfare, fight the good battle, the good fight. And now we come to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In the bulletin, it has the New International Version. I'm using Holman Christian Standard Bible this morning, so I'm reading out of it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. The Word of God says this: You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Verse 3 and 4, here we go. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life, for he seeks to please the recruiter, his commander. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to get a share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Life Community Church, onward, Christian soldiers. And this morning, out of that passage, I want to talk about four qualities, four characteristics of a good Christian soldier. And the very first one, as he says here, about pleasing our commander-in-chief, is a good soldier is committed to his Lord. Committed to his Lord. And of course, I'm talking about commitment. I'm talking about obedience. Obedience is found throughout Scripture. In the Old Testament, it says to obey is better than any kind of sacrifice that you can make. When you come to the book of Acts and the church is moving like a great army in the world of that day, there were those who arrested the apostles and basically told them, shut up. Stop talking about this Jesus. And the apostle says, but we ought to obey God rather than man. Onward, Christian soldiers. One fellow told his neighbor, he said, I'm going to go to the Holy Land. And when I get over in the Holy Land, the first thing that I want to do is I want to stand on the mountaintop and shout out to everybody the Ten Commandments. The neighbor wasn't very impressed. He says, brother, I think it would do you better just to stay here in the United States and obey the Ten Commandments. Commitment to his Lord. Commitment to our commander-in-chief. It might surprise you that for every reference to Jesus as Savior in the New Testament, there are 27 references to him as Lord, as King, as commander-in-chief. Committed to his Lord. The people of Africa love to sing choruses, and one of the first ones that I learned, since it only has three or four words in it, was Wanga, 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 Yesu Ndi Wanga, Yesu Ndi Wanga. Mine, 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 Jesus is mine. And it's true, Jesus is my Savior. He's my friend. He's my counselor. But the other verse of that song, even the people in Africa don't like to sing the other verse. The other verse is, Wake, 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 ine ndi wake. His, his, his. I am his. He's my Lord. A good soldier is committed to his Lord. Commitment says we don't have to know why. When we receive orders from the commander-in-chief. Christians do not live by explanations. Christians live by faith. Soldiers do not negotiate with their commander-in-chief particular orders. Hey, let's negotiate this. Sergeant, I heard what you said, but before I obey, can we negotiate a little bit? That just doesn't happen in the Army. Or at least that doesn't have very good consequences if you try to negotiate. And it doesn't have very good consequences with us as Christians if we try to negotiate the orders that he has given to us. It amazes me how many Christians want to try to negotiate with the commander-in-chief, with our Lord, about things that he asks us to do. And we say, well, if I only understood, then it wouldn't be a problem for me to obey. But there are so many things that we do and we don't ask for an explanation for it. We just do it. I mean, I don't know how it is a black cow eats green grass under a yellow sun and gives white milk. Can you explain that one? Well, I can't explain that one. That just doesn't seem to make any sense to me at all. But yet we drink that milk and we enjoy it. God gives us orders, and good soldiers are committed to their Lord. We live by faith. We trust Him. We obey Him. We are committed to Him. Somebody says, well, what about, you know, Van, there are people good Christian people that are telling me that I ought to do this, and some good Christian people say, well, I ought to do that. And sometimes pastors even seem to give conflicting orders or advice. What do I do? Well, a military man was one time asked, what do you do if you seem to get conflicting orders when you're in the army? And he says, I find out who the superior officer is, and that's the one I obey. Well, when you get conflicting orders among preachers and pastors in this world today, you find out who the superior officer is, and that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you obey Him. You obey Him. We are committed to our Lord. I still love the words of Mary at that. Well, I love the words of my Mary, but I'm talking about the other Mary. Although what that Mary says and my Mary says are similar. At the wedding feast of Canaan, and they ran out of wine, and they came and they wondered what they were going to do. And of course, that's the miracle where Jesus turns the water into wine. But before that happens, the servants come to Mary and they ask, well, you know, we got a problem here. What are we going to do? And Mary says, you just go to my son, and whatever he says, you do it. That's true for us today, brother and sisters. Commitment to the Lord means whatever he has told us to do, whatever he's told us to do, we do it. We do it. It is a loyalty, a commitment, an obedience, even unto death. Paul says in Romans chapter 12 that we ought to be, he pleads for us to be, living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. You know the problem with living sacrifices? They keep wanting to crawl off the altar. That's the problem with living sacrifices. I have asked lots of different congregations in lots of different places, are you willing to die for Jesus? Are you willing to die for Jesus? I suspect if I ask you to raise your hand if you'd be willing to die for Jesus today, the majority of you here today would say, yes, I'd be willing to die for Jesus. And I'm happy. Most Christians in Africa, here in the United States, wherever I've asked, I'm willing to die for Jesus. But the harder question to respond to is this one. Are you willing to live for Jesus each and every day? You see, it's easy for us to say, I'll die for Jesus. But it's not so easy, day in and day out, at school, at work, wherever you are, to live for Jesus. A good soldier is committed to his Lord. A good soldier is ready to live for Jesus each and every day. I noticed this morning, the verse that is on the side of that trailer. Anybody remember, know what that verse is that's on the side of that trailer? I glanced at it as I walked past it this morning. It's out of Joshua. Be strong. Be strong and courageous. Life Community Church, be strong and courageous. The Lord is leading you. The Commander-in-Chief is leading you in another step from this place to that place over there at Hall Street. Be strong and courageous. Onward, Christian soldiers. Be committed to your Lord as He takes us the next step. Second quality, conditioned to endure, hardship. Conditioned to endure hardness, hardship. As you begin your military career, you have this thing called basic training, boot camp. It is intensive. It is to condition you to endure hardship. This summer, I know Brother Kenny was talking about spiritual disciplines, talking about prayer and Bible study, spiritual exercises that condition us as Christians to endure hardship, that condition us as Christians to persevere when the struggles come, when the trials come. I remember a fellow that needed exercise, physical exercise, desperately in his life. And he says, you know, my problem is when I feel like I need to get exercise, my reaction is I try to lie down until that feeling passes. And some of us are that way when it comes to spiritual exercises. When we feel like we need to pray or we feel like we need to read the Bible, we sort of just sit down and wait till that feeling passes. You know, we'll watch TV or we'll pick up some other kind of book and we'll... But we need to be conditioned to endure hardship. Paul speaks to Timothy. Timothy, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer as a soldier. It's not going to be easy. God doesn't provide cushions with his commands. When teachers want their students to grow, they do not give them the answers. They give them problems, not answers. Conditioned to endure hardship. Paul knew what he was talking about. He had known a few hardships in his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Paul says, we are pressured in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Because he was conditioned in his walk with God to endure hardship. When I was in my baby boomer generation, growing up with television, and I can remember the watch in my day was a Timex. And in that day and age, if you had a Timex watch, you really were somebody. And I can remember the commercials on TV, and the slogan for Timex was, hey, yeah, it takes a licking and keeps on ticking. And I thought, I'd love to have a watch like that. That's the kind of soldiers that we need in the Christian army. We need soldiers that can take a licking and keep on ticking. We need soldiers that can be crushed, pressured, but not destroyed. That will stand strong when the struggles come. James J. Corbett was heavyweight boxing champion of the world at one time. Somebody asked him, what's the secret to becoming the heavyweight boxing champion of the world? He said, fight one more round. Well, that doesn't sound very powerful in terms of advice, but he says, listen, when you're in the corner of that ring and you've been fighting for a long time, and he says, if you want to be champion, when your body says to you, no mas. When everything about you says, I don't want to get hit anymore. I don't want to take another punch. I don't want to get knocked down. I'm about to get my brains beat out. I don't want to step up to the center of the ring. He says, when you feel like that, if you want to be champion, you fight one more round. One more round. Conditioned to endure hardness. Ready to go. Ready to step out one more time. How will we do that? Look at something else Paul says to Timothy, and you won't have to go very far. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 16 through 18. At my defense, no one stood by me, but everyone deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the proclamation might be fully made through me and all the Gentiles might hear. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil work and will bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Condition to endure hardness. Let me move faster. Well, we're talking about committed to His Lord, conditioned to endure hardness. Number three is concentrates on the goal. Concentrates on the goal. Three times in the book of Acts, you have Paul's salvation story. In one of those, as Paul shares his salvation testimony, Paul said, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." That was the secret of Paul's effectiveness. He was a focused man on what God told him to do. Nothing in this world was going to distract him from the task, the plan that God had for his life. He was on his way to what God wanted him to do. It used to be said of Christians that we were so heavenly minded that we were no earthly good. I think that it could also be said of today's Christians, many of us are so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good. We are becoming a distracted people from the vision, from the dream, from the goal that God's given to us. One of my favorite stories about two men who went to the bar, the tavern, and they got drunk. And they were headed home when the bar closed, and they went down to the side of the lake because they lived on the other side of the lake. They got into their boat, and they started rowing to go home. And they were singing, and they were laughing, and they were having the greatest of time. But one of them eventually said to his friend, "You know, I didn't think that it was that far across the lake. We sure have been rowing a long time." Then as the sun came up and as they sobered up, the two of them realized neither one of them had untied the boat. Brothers and sisters, we got to cut the rope. Cut the rope. There are some of us that are so distracted by the things of this world that we've forgotten to cut the rope. We're too tied to the things of this world. You have to have focus. You have to have focus. I love the Proverbs of Africa. They're very, very graphic. Mpuno Imodzi, Sizi Loa, Zala Ziwidi. Roughly translated, that is, you can't stick two fingers up one nostril. Now that's powerful imagery. Now I suppose you could. Some of you are trying it even now. But the wisdom of that proverb is, it's just better to do one thing at a time. Everything's a bit easier if you do one thing at a time and have things in priority. The Christian life goes a whole lot better. The army makes greater progress when we are focused on the task that God has given us. When our concentration is fully upon Him and His leadership and what He wants us to do. One of my favorite singers of all time, just reflective of my generation, was a lady by the name of Ethel Waters. And Ethel Waters sang for years at the Billy Graham Crusades. And her song, her trademark song, was the old hymn, "His Eye is on the Sparrow." Her autobiography is also entitled, "His Eye is on the Sparrow." And in her testimony, she said, I came to the point where I realized that my life was not displeasing to God, but it really wasn't pleasing Him either. And there's a difference between being not displeasing and really pleasing. I suspect for most of us, our lives are not displeasing to God. But I really wonder, are we focused enough that our lives are really pleasing to God? All right. Committed to His Lord, conditioned to endure hardness, concentrates on the goal, and one last one, cooperates with the group. Cooperates with the group. My father was baptized in Methodist Church. My mother was baptized in the Church of Christ. My earliest memories of church were in the Church of the Nazarene. My first baptism, I was baptized in the First Church of God, and then I became a Baptist. Met some great people in all those different churches. And truthfully, I met some pretty sorry people in all those different all those churches as well. Even Baptist, yeah. But you learn to cooperate with the rest of the army. We are not the enemies to one another. And on the mission field, you learn you have one enemy. And that's the evil one. That's Satan and his demons. And so we've worked hand in hand with born-again Catholics, with Lutherans, with Anglicans, with Presbyterians, with Pentecostals, with Pentecostal holiness, with Assemblies of God. And we've seen God do great, great things because we were willing to cooperate as a group. I like the story of the soldier. The chaplain comes to him. The soldier is dying. The chaplain says, "Young man, tell me your persuasion," because the chaplain wanted to do some kind of last rites. And so the young man says, "Chaplain, I'm of Paul's persuasion." And the chaplain says, "Well, I know about the Catholic persuasion, and I know the Protestant persuasion. I know Baptist, I know Methodist, but what do you mean Paul's persuasion?" And the young man said, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." I'm of that persuasion. And I think anybody else that is of that persuasion, that is persuaded that God is able to keep what we commit unto him, we ought to work hand in hand with. Sometimes we find it easier to work hand in hand with people of other denominations than we do with one another in the same church. Through the years, more than one military person has died from friendly fire. And sometimes there are those Christians within the body, those soldiers, our fellow soldiers, that have been the victims of friendly fire. Somebody said the Christian army is the only army in the world that shoots its own wounded. We certainly do have a tendency within the body sometimes to really attack those that are struggling. Cooperates with the group, within the group. I feel a little uneasy. I don't know. I feel a little uneasy. I learned this early on in our missionary career. I feel a little uneasy when people talk about my ministry. My ministry. My ministry. We had a fellow by the name of Timothy. His name was Timothy Monda. We had all of our seminary students preach in chapel. And they had to preach in English. For most of them, English was their fourth or fifth or sixth language. But they had to preach in English in chapel. And Timothy stood up in front of us. And he was nervous because there were his professors and his fellow students. This was the first time that he had ever preached in English. I'll never forget what he said. He said, "I probably will make a lot of mistakes today." He said, "I make a lot of mistakes in ministry." But he said, "After all, God is the owner of the ministry." God is the owner of the ministry. And we'll find it difficult for cooperation to exist as long as we talk about my ministry, my ministry, my ministry, until we talk about God as the owner of our ministry, of this ministry. And God as the owner, we want to work together. All right, those four qualities. Onward, Christian soldiers. Committed to the Lord, conditioned to endure hardness, concentrate on the goal, cooperate with one another. And life community will go onward and onward and onward if we do those four things. In the Battle of Gettysburg, an army surgeon is riding on horseback. Whether he's Confederate, Union soldier, he's going from soldier to wounded soldier. He's doing triage from horseback. He rides up to somebody on the battlefield, looks to see if there's anything he can do, and passes on to the next person. If he can help, he jumps off the horse and helps. Comes up on a young man, and at first he thinks the young fellow's dead. But then he sees his lips moving. Jumps off the horse, rushes to his side, kneels down beside of him. Tips his ear so he can hear what the young fellow's saying. And the young fellow is whispering, "Hear, hear, hear." And the surgeon says to the young man, "I'm here. I'm the surgeon. Your doctor is here." Smile came on his face and he says, "Doctor, they were doing the roll call in heaven, and I heard my name, and I was answering, I'm here, here, here." There are some of you who are here, and your name has never been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when the roll call is made in heaven, your name is not going to be there unless you do something today. And so if you're here this day and you have never made that first commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, today is a wonderful, wonderful day to enlist in God's army and to become a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is a wonderful, wonderful day to have your name written in the book of life. And it will be there forever. Today is a wonderful day to have your name, as the book says, engraved on the palms of the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will never forget you. Today is the day. Today is the day. Some of you are my fellow soldiers. My fellow soldiers. And the Lord has issued orders to you, and you need to step up and say, "Here, here, Lord, here. I'm available. I'm ready for you to use. I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do." I don't know how your commitment has been. I don't know how your conditioning has been. Some of you this day need to make a new commitment to the Lord and say, "Lord, don't put me in a hard place yet, because I'm not really conditioned. I haven't been doing those spiritual exercises." Some of you have been too distracted by the world. Some of you haven't been as cooperative as what you need to be. Here we are. Those brothers come alongside me down here to the front. Those of you who need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we are going to be here to receive you. We want to be here to tell you how to enlist in God's army, to take a step into the kingdom of God. Those of you who simply need to pray, pray. Those of you who need to come forward and make a stronger commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to make that step to come forward and make a firmer commitment to Jesus. Shall we stand together? Shall we stand together? This is a great, great day, my fellow soldiers, and it's a wonderful opportunity. Be obedient to the Lord as we sing.